Hope you're all doing well this morning. Welcome to College Park. It's good to see you this morning for worship. We're going to take just a few minutes to share some announcements and schedule reminders in the few minutes before we transition into worship. You will see that noticeably absent this morning are our youth who are with Jeff and some brave and courageous chaperones at Ridgecrest near Asheville for the PMBA Associational Fall Youth Retreat. And I don't know how many youth they have at Ridgecrest this weekend, but they've got a big group, and they're having a great weekend, and certainly want to think about them. And Jeff sends his greetings this morning. You'll see in your order of worship on the back and in the inset the upcoming events for this week and over the next few weeks. Just want to draw your attention to a few quick highlights. First, this Wednesday night, we'll be having a Thanksgiving service here in the sanctuary at 6:30. There will be no regular family night activities or classes. This Thanksgiving service will be our Wednesday evening activity, so there will be no supper, and then we'll continue with regularly scheduled Wednesday activities and family night supper on the week after Thanksgiving. So here in the sanctuary at 6:30, and I do plan to sing a few solos and whatnot, but we're going to have you out in time to get the turkeys started for Thursday. Another announcement about this week: we've started over the past 4 or 5 years with a Thanksgiving week delivery project to some of our homebound members and others who are not able to join us, and some who live alone. And we're going to be doing that project this week. I've got the goodies being prepared to be picked up tomorrow. So if you would like to make a delivery, you can let me know, or you can just come by and check in. What we typically do is have the goodies ready on a table outside Smith Hall, and they should be ready in there by about lunchtime tomorrow. And there's a list there of who we're going to deliver to, and you can deliver one, you can deliver as many as you like, you can deliver with someone else or by yourself, whatever you'd like to do. But thanks to all of you for considering helping, and if that's not something you have time to help with this week, no problem. We'll certainly have some other ministry opportunities here over coming weeks and into Advent, which, incredibly enough, is next week. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent. We've got an exciting church schedule for Advent, so please be on the lookout in the church newsletter and on the website about some of our Advent activities. A reminder, the book club will meet a week from Monday. That's the 28th, if my math is right. Monday the 28th, the book club will meet. And also, since the youth aren't here to announce it, I'll announce on their behalf that the just a reminder about the Youth Missions fundraiser barbecue lunch will be in Smith Hall on December the 10th, and the youth are selling tickets and have a number of opportunities there that you can help them raise money for Youth Missions and enjoy some good barbecue. I want to say a special word of greeting to our visitors. Our ushers are going to come down in just a moment. If you are visiting with us this morning and you'd like some information on our church, we'd like to share some things with you. So if you would, just raise your hand high enough for one of our ushers to see you so we can give you some information, including our most recent church newsletter and letter from our pastor and some information about different things going on in the life of the church. Whatever brought you here with us today, thank you for joining us. We hope that you find this a warm and friendly place, but most importantly, we hope that you find this a place where you can meaningfully worship God this morning at College Park. So thank you so much for being with us. We are here to worship this morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever your week has included, whatever may be on your heart and mind this morning, let us take a deep breath and cleanse our mind and our heart and prepare for what God has in store for us this morning and prepare to give Him our best in this hour of worship.
Praises of science. Would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come into this place, Lord, help us not to neglect to sing the songs of Zion. Lord, as we come to offer you our worship this morning, I ask even now, Lord, that you would help us to let go of those things that may hinder us from hearing you this morning. Lord, help us to close our minds to other thoughts that would distract us. Lord, help us to focus on you, for we know that you are present here in this place. And so, Lord, as we sing, as we pray, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord, we ask that you would help us to hear you speak through it. And Lord, as we offer ourselves in song and in prayers and in word, Lord, let us do it with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Lord, let our worship this morning be a fragrant offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Edward Winslow said, our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent it. of birds. Yeah. Bottom line is they ate some kind of bird. We don't know. It could have been turkey. It could have been a pigeon. It could have been a goose. It could have been what else? Flamingos. Turkey maybe because we think they might have eaten turkey. Okay? But we also know that they ate a lot of veggies. That's right. You bet. They had green corn, not sweet corn. They had pumpkin, peas, beans, onions, lettuce, radishes, one of my favorites. Radishes, carrots, plums, grapes, walnuts, chestnuts, acorns, stuff like that. Are you going to have acorns for Thanksgiving lunch?
I'm not a squirrel.
I saw all this together. You have pumpkin burgers? Well, whatever you eat on Thanksgiving, remember this. The reason that we have Thanksgiving feast, it goes all the way back to the 1600s. What we're thankful, in the 1600s, the pilgrims had a Thanksgiving feast that lasted 3 days. The pilgrims, that's right. The pilgrims and the Native American Indians were thankful for the harvest. Okay? That's why we have it. Right? That's why we have Thanksgiving. Because we're thankful for the harvest. And God gives us, provides for our needs, right? So we're thankful for God for all that He gives us. And this morning we're going to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4 where Paul, the Apostle Paul, was saying how thankful he was for the people at Ephesus. Right? So we need to be thankful for each other. We need to be thankful for what God gives us and thankful for each other. Can you do that?
Yes.
Can you be thankful?
Yes.
Right. I've got something to remind you. Okay? I've got something to remind you to be thankful. And here's what it is. They're turkeys. Right? And it's to remind you to be thankful for the fact that you're not the turkey. You be thinking you're on the turkey, that's right.
You'll be sitting in somebody's kitchen.
Right. I got my assistant, my little assistant, right here helping me. If you look over, that's what we're going to ask you to tell us about that just a minute. You notice on the bottom, it has the date, 2011. That's to remind you when you got the turkey.
Candle.
Okay. So what do you do with candles?
All
right. Now, here's the deal.
So
Here's the rule. Alright, here's the rule. Alright? If you decide to light the candle and burn it, the whole time that the candle is on fire, you have to sit there and talk with your mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever, and tell them all the things that you're thankful for. Alright? Okay? And when you stop being thankful, you're gonna blow out the candle. That's the rule, okay? If you decide you don't have to burn the turkey, okay? But if you decide you want to do that, then the whole time it's lit, you need to tell mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever you're talking to, how thankful you are. And you never light the candle unless there's yourself there supervised, okay? Is that the deal? Can you do that?
No, I'm
mom's going to light. Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
all right, Thursday. Side of life, we're going to be really thankful for talking about it, okay? Let's pray. Thank God for today. Dear Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for these children, the blessing that they are. And God, we love you, and we thank you for all that you've given us, and thank you most for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life through his faith. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the Old Testament. We have two passages. First in the book of Ezekiel, 34th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning at verse 11. If you don't have your own personal Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. This is Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And also from the book of Psalms in the 95th Psalm, the first seven verses. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you love and feed us, for the many ways you lead us. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the beautiful notes shared by these musicians in worship this morning. Thank you for the way that music adds to our worship in our hour with you. Lord, thank you for our children and their thankful hearts and innocent spirits. Thank you for this week and this month, this season that we come to share thanks and take extra time and extra opportunity to consider what we're thankful for and to consider the many ways that you have blessed us. Lord, thank you for each person here this morning. Thank you for the way that you have loved us in the past week, the way that you have led us, the way that you have fed us. Even when we did not deserve it, Lord, you were standing right beside us. Even when we didn't realize it, you were carrying us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ability to come to you in worship this morning and to say thanks, not because we were perfect this last week, but because you were. Because we love you, that we know that you have created us and you have sustained us and you have redeemed us. And that has made all the difference in our lives. Lord, this week as we experience Thanksgiving, help us not to miss any of your blessings. Help us not to miss any of your messages and any of your lessons and any of the special ways that you touch our lives and the lives of those around us. Help us to perceive it all, to notice it all, and to live in a way that thankful is just written right on our foreheads. To live in a way that those around us will see that our thankfulness and our love for you is contagious and is full of passion and sincerity and gratitude, because our life really is about you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for helping us through on tough days, on difficult days, and in difficult moments. Lord, please be with all those who need our prayers for physical strength, for those who need our prayers for emotional strength and mental strength through disappointment and struggle and strife and stress. We lift them up to you this morning. We give great thanks for your power and your grace upon us and your love that never fails us any minute of our lives. Lord, help us to live this week in a way that's thankful and to celebrate you in the best way that we can, with our energy and our hearts and our minds lifted to you in a way that says thanks. Lord, we thank you, and it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord, this is a time of year we're supposed to be so thankful for all the bounty you have provided us. And in bounty, we always think of terms of treasures, our wealth, our assets. And dear Lord, is also in the word thanksgiving, the word giving. And bounty is so much that we can give to others that is not just our wealth. It's also a kind word, our love, our caring for others. help us always remember that it's just not one time of year, but it's 365 days of the year. Continue to bless this church and to continue to provide us all the many bounties we are so blessed with. In your most gracious name, amen.
There.
There's the wonder of springtime and harvest. The sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only
You know, children have to be taught thankfulness, don't they? I mean, we're God's children. We have to be taught thankfulness. We have to teach our children thankfulness. Now, as I was sitting here with the children, I thought, you know what? What higher calling as a church do we have than to teach children what it means to be thankful to God for His love, for His forgiveness? I can tell you, I had to chuckle a little bit to myself because I'd brought these cute little pilgrim hats. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I gave out a few of those and they could kind of wear those while we had, and then I looked at the crowd, I said, no, that ain't gonna happen. No, we'll never get order restored if we start handing out pilgrim hats. Where does that go to? I don't know. But we are thankful. We're thankful for our children. We're thankful for the blessing that they are to us. And it's not just the children who are our biological children, but as we see the children here in the church, you know, we, as a larger body of Christ, we have a responsibility to all the children in our church to make sure that they receive the nurture, the training, the things that they need to grow up as good young disciples. So thank you for all that you do for our children and the children's choirs and all that help them kind of build a relationship with Jesus Christ that comes to fruition and begins to grow. So thank you for that. I guess that's really what I want to say is thank you for your faithfulness to the youth and children ministry here at College Park. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Your head's this way. We do. We have so much to be thankful for. And it's interesting because in the Revised Common Lectionary, which is what we generally follow, there's usually several passages to choose from. You have an Old Testament passage, you have a psalm, you have generally a gospel reading as well as an epistle, you know, a reading from a New Testament epistle. And it just so happens that, I don't believe in those kind of coincidences, but this week, one of the options was Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And I read it and I said, bingo, that's it. That's Thanksgiving right there. That is a Thanksgiving passage. Typically don't hear it read on Thanksgiving, but to me it was kind of an ultimate expression of Thanksgiving. And so that's where we landed today. What Christ offers to the faithful is the title, but let's read the passage and then you'll begin to put all the pieces together on that. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What a beautiful passage of scripture. I wish, and maybe someday we'll get to hear Paul recite it. I would love to have seen the emotion on his face as he's penning those words. How thankful he is to this. He is literally pouring out his heart to the believers there at the church at Ephesus. You know, he tells them how he will continue to pray for him, how thankful he is to the bottom of his heart. Listen to the words of tenderness. He said, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I don't cease giving thanks. In other words, I'm thankful unceasingly. I'm always thankful for you as I remember you in my prayers. Then he says, and I never stop giving thanks for you. And then this, he says, you are my joy and my crown. Can you catch where he's going? He's saying a church alive in the Spirit and walking in the love of Christ is surely a joy to God. He said, it must be a joy to God because it is such a joy to me to see your faithfulness, to see those who are faithfully serving God there at Ephesus. And to such faithful people, the Apostle Paul directs a thankful heart. He said, I'm thankful for you and I will always pray for you. And then he points them to some assurances that they will have, that they possess. And during this Thanksgiving season, I challenge all of us, look at this passage more carefully. Hear his words. Make them a part of who we are. What do we have to be thankful for? What do we have to be thankful for? What has Christ offered to the faithful? I picked out four things. Probably could have been more, but four just seemed like a good number for a sermon. If I'd done all of them, we'd have been here for a while, okay? So at least four things that I picked out of this passage of Scripture. The first one is, he says, because of Christ, we have hope. Verse 17 and 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Basically what Paul's saying is, I want you to have enlightenment. Now understand, enlightenment is not the enlightenment that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that the Gnostics were praying for or that they claim this divine gnosis. Okay, that's not what he's saying. Paul is wanting for the people of the church of Ephesus to have authentic illumination of the believer's life that comes through experience in Christ. In essence, what he's praying for is spiritual growth. It's in spiritual growth is foundational to the hope that stands before us. So therefore, I pray that you will have spiritual growth. Spiritual growth comes to us as we walk daily with Christ, right? You know, as we walk with him, as we learn, he becomes more personal to us. You know, and we have that kind of relationship where we grow in our knowledge of him as well as him working through our lives. It's interesting because I hear all the time people that have quoted this passage, learned this passage of scripture, learn all this Bible trivia, which I think are mutually exclusive terms. There's nothing trivial about God's word. You know, but they know all these really cool facts that are hidden in there. And my response usually to those people is, yeah, but do you know him? You know all these cool little facts. And you may know all about God, but do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship? Because, I mean, there's a world of difference, literally an eternal world of difference between knowing all about God and truly knowing God. It is the distinction between the two that serves to propel the believer, as Paul says, to the hope of his calling. His calling on our lives. And out of the daily experience that we have with Christ, living with him, we face the future with a kind of anticipation. I say on tiptoes, in the sense of not walking gingerly, but excited, propelling yourself forward, saying, God, use me today. Do whatever you want today. I am celebrating life today and life with you. What you're doing in my life now and what you're going to do in the future. I'm excited about that. That is the definition of hope. Excited, looking forward to what God is going to do through us, with us, for us. People of hope. The second thing is, because of Christ, we're people of power. Verse 19 and 20. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That phrase there, the surpassing greatness of his power. It's hard to overstate that. It really is. We could try, you know, super mega power or whatever words we wanted to use, but it's hard really to overstate when God talks about the surpassing greatness of his power. You know, this is the power. Paul says this is the same power that God used in raising Christ from the dead. That is the same power that he used when he brought about the reality pointed to in the Apostles' Creed, where it would affirm that Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We have access to that same power to be used in our lives for God's glory. One of the great issues, I guess kind of a theme, if you will, of the world today is the sense that people feel powerless. We talk a lot about power and the power of the Holy Spirit, but in general, people are depressed, aggravated, agitated because they feel powerless. If you watch the news where they're having all the uprisings and everything is going on, all the unrest and everything that's going on, at the root of all of that is people feel powerless as it relates to their future or even their immediate time. You know, what is holding its grip on people that they feel powerless? Well, I think that bottom line is, you know, especially during times of economic hardship, the reason people feel powerless is because we attach so much of our sense of security and power to our financial well-being, don't we? That's just kind of the world we live in. That's, you know, let the stock market drop about 800 points and see what people's expression is on their face. Okay, they feel powerless to do anything about it. You know, so what do we do? As a church, I think we need to remind people, we keep our eyes off of the temporary and place them on what's eternal. That is our source of power. You know, we have really not begun to understand what the real intent of faith in our lives and for our church is really all about until we together as a church in God's power begin to carry out the mission of eternity in the temporary. We are called toward an eternal mission that we're trying to fulfill and at least begin in the here and now, in the temporary. We're called to be salt and light to give witness of God's mighty power to bring about justice and hope and love and all those things to people who feel powerless and hopeless. We're supposed to give them that message. Through Jesus Christ, this is what he offers to you. Yet it's more clear than ever that none of this can take place on our own strength. Amen? We can't do it. We can't do it. It's God's power. It's the power of God. And it's when we're in touch with God's power and energized by his power that it's when his power is intended to work all around us that we begin to sense the possibility of changing the world. All around us, it's going on. And Paul points to the fact that this power of God that can work within us is not ordinary. It is not ordinary. It is supernatural. And he prays for the church continually that we will have the spiritual knowledge that it takes to be the powerful church of God. So, through Christ, we are people of hope. Second, we're people of power. Thirdly, we are people of victory. Look at verse 21 and 22. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Now, I think these thoughts kind of bring us back to one of the central themes of Scripture, and that is God's people live under the power of a divine promise that no matter how long the road looks, no matter how dark the circumstances seem to appear, God's victory over all unrighteousness is certain. It's not possible, it's not probable. It's certain. We live under the promise of the resurrection, the power of God within the community of faith, and the affirmation that, as Paul says, all things have been put under the feet of Christ, who is head over all things to the church. It is that certainty of God's victory in the long term that empowers our life of faith in the short term. Make sense? Okay. So we move on to the fourth one. Because of Christ, we are a people of fullness. Look at the last verse we read. Verse 23. The fullness begins, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We need to untangle this just a little bit, but the heart of this short verse of scripture is simply that Jesus Christ is, he brings fullness. He brings fullness to life. That is completeness, full maturity as we begin to walk with him to our lives as God intended them to be. Now, there is a disclaimer here though, because these comments are directed really at the church, the family of faith, the people of God. This really isn't one of those, you know, Jesus and me, Jesus just wants me to be happy and feel fulfilled. I mean, that's really not what's going on here. The New Testament vision of a church that's healthy and whole, a church where people discover the fullness of Christ, is a church that is self-consciously bound together as the body of Christ. One body. The body of Christ. This is a church where Christ is the head, not just in name, but he is truly the head of the church. It's not something that comes about when you hang a mission statement in the hallway. It's not something that necessarily comes about when just because you begin every meeting, church meeting, in prayer. This is Christ as head of the church when evidenced by our openness to God, our openness to each other, our openness to the cries of a broken world. It's something that people know by experiencing our life together. It's not just something we read in the newsletter, okay? It's life together through the power of Christ, walking with him. And one of the reasons I think that we don't experience the fullness of Christ in the church today is because we have too low a view of the church. Think about it. There's a lot of people, if you ask them, what do they do in church? Well, it's another social grouping. They go there to make business contacts, or they go there to do this or do that, or get together and whine and complain together. You know, you get all kinds of, don't ask the question unless you want to hear answers, okay? You know, what do people do in church? We have too low an estimation of what the church is. And we will gain the power that God has for us when we regain a very high sense of the church as the body of Christ, and ourselves as intimately woven together into a fabric of faithful community. That's what Jesus has in mind for us. I think maybe we can get a little bit better understanding for what the church is and how much it means to Christ if we go to a little bit later in Paul's letter in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, where he says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let that sink in. The Son of God, the only Son of God, loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do you feel worthy of that? I don't. Why in the world would he do that? He had a plan for the church. That's us. He had a plan for us. And the Apostle Paul's prayer kind of opens up God's plan for the church. He said, in Christ, I want you to know that you have hope. In Christ, I want you to know that you have power. In Christ, I want you to know that you have victory. And in Christ, I want you to know that you can experience fullness individually and corporately unlike anything that you could ever imagine. Because Christ gave himself up for the church. If you're having trouble feeling thankful this Thanksgiving, go back and read this passage. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 1 again. Read it every day if you have to. So God gives you a thankful heart. And then once you have that thankful heart, you raise that thankful heart to the God who gave us all that we need to glorify him and to live the life that he meant for us to live. Make sense? Sure it does. A Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we confess that so many times we get wrapped up in what is temporary, what is physical stuff here in this world, that, God, that we lose sight of all that you've given us and all the things that we read in Paul's letter that you've given us through Christ. Those aren't material things. Those are spiritual gifts. Those are things that you've offered to us that give real meaning to life. So we pray that you would teach us as we seek to follow you, that you would teach us more completely every day what it means to surrender ourselves to your will. Surrender the things of this world for a higher calling that you have placed upon us as individual believers as well as church. God, we pray that this Thanksgiving, it wouldn't just be about turkey and football. It would truly be about recognizing the sacrifice that you made on our behalf and the sacrifices we need to make to show our allegiance, loyalty to you. And we know that you will work in us in a way that we can never imagine. And we pledge to give you the praise and the glory for all that you do through us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I pray that you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but if you have not, today is the day. I'll be here at the front. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, let's settle that today. If you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I'm as guilty as what you're talking about, getting caught up in the trappings of this world, and I really want to get more focused on what Christ is going to do through me. And if that's you, I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, or you can certainly come pray here at the altar. Certainly, you can do business with God right where you're standing. That's fine. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of College Park, we'd love to welcome you as a member, and I'll be glad to share with you how we do that, many ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is this morning, I invite you to be serious about that and do business with God as we stand and sing together now. I think most of you know the Eshelmans. They are coming this morning, and we're going to be talking with them. Mama is coming by statement of faith, and Wallace is, we're going to be talking with this week about his decision to be faithful to Christ and follow his example with public profession of faith and baptism. But this morning they're coming just to let you know that they appreciate your support over the last week or so, and just the encouragement this body has offered to them. So coming by statement of faith, and then Wallace for we'll be talking to this week. So hopefully we'll have a decision from him in the next week or so, and we can rejoice in that. Right, buddy? Okay, very good. If you will, at the conclusion of the service, if you'll come by, extend a word of fellowship and a word of encouragement to them. I know that they would appreciate that. Would you join me standing now for our benediction? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day and all that you do for us. Father, it just goes beyond what our minds can imagine. And Father, we thank you for the fellowship of believers that we can come together and worship you. We pray that as we leave from this place that you would walk with us and that we would receive you daily as we seek to glorify you through our lives and our words and our actions. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.